This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
You see, preaching God's Word is not merely about the labor to study the text and then to think of helpful illustrations to provide windows into the meaning of the text and finding then the right applications that are relevant to life. Preaching is fundamentally a work of God's Spirit.
Listen as Rich introduces today's message titled, Preaching Jesus.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today it's our joy to open up our Bibles together to Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 36. Immediately after the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell followers of Jesus, Peter preaches a sermon. In this, Peter is showing us the central part of the ministry that the preaching of the Word has for the life of the church. You know, I don't think there's anything more important to a church's life and vitality than the preaching of the Word. And so it's really important for us as God's people to value the preaching of the Word. As God's people would not value it, there'll be more and more churches that don't proclaim the gospel, that don't preach the Word, that preach sort of good ideas for man to help us along in life, but don't really hear the Word of the Lord. And so let's open up God's Word together today to gain a fresh conviction on how important it is that churches proclaim the Word of God to the people of God for the glory of God.
So when I was a young 30-year-old pastor, I decided it would be wise for me to befriend some older pastors who were seasoned and could impart some wisdom to me, necessary wisdom. One of those pastors was rather discouraged in ministry, and one day he lamented, "I do not think preaching makes very much difference in people's lives." Though I deeply respected this pastor friend, I remembered being first really, really sad for him, and also thinking, I could not disagree more. And today, after 27 years of preaching ministry, I understand more the reason why this pastor said what he did, but I'm still saddened that he believed that. It is true that preaching often does not make much difference in some people's lives. Listening to the preaching of God's Word does not guarantee that good things happen in our soul. Many who listened to Jesus preach were not blessed by his preaching. There was no change whatsoever. And Jesus told us that this would be the case when he taught the parable of the soils. He told us that the Word of God, it's like seed. It has the power of God's life sown in a soul. It holds the power to impart life to everyone who'd receive it by faith. But Jesus taught, first, that some hearts are simply hard. When they hear the Word of God, they resist God in his Word, they resent him, and Satan comes along and immediately snatches up what little word they have been given, even before Sunday lunch is over. Jesus also taught that some hearts are shallow in their resolve. That these folks hear the word and immediately they show some initial receptivity to it. They think, wow, this is a great message. I think this is for me. But then persecution or painful trials enter their lives. They get really discouraged and despairing. They give themselves over to unbelief and they decide that breaking faith with God will actually lead to a better life, a happier circumstance. Spiritual life that began in their heart shrivels and dies. And still other hearts are distracted by the world. These folks receive the word and for some time appear to be receiving it and benefiting from it. But then the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for things of this world begins to take their attention. And those desires for the things of this world and the love of this world just begins to choke out the life of God so that that life too that seemed to have promise dies away. My pastor friend may have been discouraged by the many whose hearts are either hard or shallow or thorny. And it is absolutely true that the preaching of the word does not make much difference in the lives of people whose hearts are hard or shallow or distracted. But faithful servants of God persevere in sowing the word. regardless of the responsiveness, regardless of the percentages. Why? Because Jesus told us that there will be a fourth kind of soil. Jesus said that some hearts are prepared by God's grace to receive the word implanted, to receive the message that God brings to the preaching of the word with humility, with faith. And when these hear the word and receive it by faith, a miracle happens. Life shoots up and life begins to produce fruit 10, 100, 1,000-fold. And their life produces a rich harvest of practical righteousness, of spiritual service, of joyful worship to the Lord. Here's the truth. The preaching of God's word invigorates and empowers any person who listens with a humble and receptive heart. Such is the power of God's word. That any person who listens with a humble, receptive heart will be invigorated and empowered by it. Let me ask you, how valuable is the preaching of God's word to you? Do you find your life changed by it? Do you expect something supernatural to flow into your life whenever you sit underneath the preaching of God's word? If you say to those questions, well, not really. I don't really have that great expectation. I urge you to consider the condition of the soil of your heart, because the word of God is that powerful to actually have that kind of effect every single time. I realize that many today wonder if preaching is still a relevant form of communication. After all, we have TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. Who has time to listen to a long sermon? Shouldn't the church find better ways to reach the world than preaching? Perhaps we need less preaching and more time in discussion groups, or more time in service projects, or more time in fellowship gatherings. Now, I believe these are good tools as well, but friends, I pray that the Holy Spirit convinces us of the high value that He places upon the preaching of His word, that it's fundamental, it's foundational to the life of the church and the life of individual believers. We open up our Bibles today to Acts chapter 2. After the coming of the Holy Spirit to fill the disciples' lives, the first act of the apostles is the preaching of God's word. As you study the book of Acts, you'll discover that about 20% of the material in the book of Acts is comprised of sermons, the text of the preaching of God's word by the apostles. Over and over, God uses the preaching of the word to start churches and then to strengthen the saints. Yet God's emphasis on preaching as His means to bring grace to us is not a new emphasis. In fact, if we open up our Bibles and read through the Old Testament, we see that preaching is the primary work of all the prophets, that most of the books written in the Old Testament are just simply books of preaching. And when Jesus the Messiah begins His earthly ministry, listen to what He says about His own ministry in Luke chapter 4. He says, "I must preach. I must preach the good news of the kingdom to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose," the purpose of preaching the good news. And then He was preaching in the synagogues all throughout Judea. That was the essential, fundamental commitment of His ministry. And then when He gives the ministry over to the 12, listen to what Mark 3 says. He appointed the 12 so that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach. See, my point here is that God has ordained this medium, the medium of preaching His word, to be the means by which He brings life to individual souls and by which He strengthens His church. God brings life to souls through the preaching of the word, and the preaching is God's necessary means to bring the lost to Christ and to build believers in Jesus. So we open up our Bibles again to Acts 2, where God uses a sermon to begin the church of Jesus. And Peter is preaching this sermon. It's 28 verses long in our Bibles. And at the end, it has tremendous effect. 3,000 people listen to the sermon and believe. We're not told how many people listen to the sermon and turn away, don't believe, but 3,000 believe in Jesus at the end of it. This sermon becomes a model for us of what preaching Jesus is all about. Let me ask you, what do you think makes a good sermon? Just float that question through your hearts. What makes for a good sermon? Well, from Peter's sermon, we're going to learn four fundamental qualities of Christ-exalting messages. four fundamentals of preaching Jesus. The first, preaching Jesus rests on the work of the Holy Spirit through prayer. Remember that chapter 1 tells us that the 11 are told by Jesus to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit and to pray as they wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. For 10 days, they're waiting and they're praying in a room in Jerusalem. And on the 10th day, the Holy Spirit arrives. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, let's read that. It says, "Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So Peter, along with the other disciples, are energized by God's Spirit. They're filled with God's Spirit. And as Peter begins to preach, the Holy Spirit is working through him. He's not relying upon his own natural boldness or on his dynamic personality or his intense preparation to win the hearts of these folks to Christ. The Holy Spirit is filling this man. In Acts 4, we see the connection between prayer and the Holy Spirit to preaching once again. Acts 4:31. "And when they prayed," this is the disciples, "the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." And then what happened? "And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness." You see, the filling of the Holy Spirit, accompanied by prayer, is attached to the proclamation of God's word. Necessarily so. You see, preaching God's word is not merely about the labor to study the text and then to think of helpful illustrations to provide windows into the meaning of the text and finding then the right applications that are relevant to life. Preaching is fundamentally a work of God's Spirit. A human instrument is always involved, but that's the weakest part. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers the preaching of Jesus, that brings life to souls, that brings strength and vitality to a church. The preparation to preach fundamentally rests upon persevering prayer, a zeal for the glory of God, a submission to the will of God, a humble reliance upon God's Spirit. This past week, while my second son is deployed in the Middle East, his wife, Lizzie, and our 13-month-old grandson, Asher, is with us. Asher's 13 months, but he walks around furniture, but mostly he walks on his knees, and it's such a cute little thing, I've never seen a little kid like it. You know, he sticks his chest out, his head's back, and then his arms just go like crazy as he walks on his knees. He becomes an illustration to me about what preparation for a message preaching Jesus is all about. You see, God calls me to be a person who walks on my knees, a humble, dependent spirit, of just calling out to God and saying, "God, if you don't work, then nothing is going to happen as a result of the labors that I'm making to prepare." Our preparation for preaching should look much like Elijah's preparation of the altar on Mount Carmel. You remember that story? As he battled the prophets of Baal, he laid out the wood and he laid out the animal on the altar, and then he poured 12 jars, soaking the logs, pouring over and flowing over the altar. And then when it was time for the test to see whether God is God, what did Elijah do? He's God's instrument, but Elijah has no ability to make fire burn in those logs. He had no access to do that. No matter how much he cried, no matter how much he intoned, there was no access to that. But what did he do? "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel." "God, work," is what he cried out. "Take this feeble effort of mine and bring fire from heaven. Do a miracle through me. Know that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word." In other words, I'm simply acting in obedience. "Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back." You see, the instrument of the person preaching is so weak as to not be enabled to bring fire from heaven at all, not even a spark. And if it's not the Holy Spirit working through that instrument, then nothing good happens. So preaching is always empowered by God's Holy Spirit, and that takes place through prayer. What difference does the Holy Spirit make in the instrument? Well, there are two huge differences that the Holy Spirit produces in the life of a person when he fills that person. First is passion, and the second is courage. A passion. We see Peter's passion even as he speaks. Look at verse 14. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice. And I don't think it was just for practical purposes that he didn't have a microphone, but I think he's super zealous. He's filled with the God Spirit. He wants people to hear. He addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. You can hear his tone. You can hear him with energy call out, listen to what I have to say. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Then he says in verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Again, he has a passion behind the desire for people to listen, not because what he has to say is so important, but because what God has already said is so important. And he talks about Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. And then he says in verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And again, as you read the story, you read the passion, skip down to verse 40, and with many other words he bore witness and he continued to exhort them saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. God-given passion for Jesus is necessary to preaching Jesus. There is no preaching Jesus apart from this passion that the Holy Spirit produces. The Holy Spirit places in us a yearning desire to see that Jesus is honored in the way he deserves to be honored. So our first focus is not question, well, I wonder if they all like the message or not. That's not the heart of a Holy Spirit-filled preacher or teacher. The first thought is, God, did I offer an acceptable sacrifice? Did I say something that was worthy of Christ to help our hearts lift up and to see that he is a glorious Son, that he is a glorious God, that he is a glorious Savior? Remember what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do in John 16? He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. So preaching Jesus begins with being filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit's entire purpose in his ministry on the earth is to make the glory of Jesus known. Then the second help that the Holy Spirit brings is not just passion, but also courage. Do you remember what happened to Peter 50 days earlier? He was sitting at a fire in the courtyard of the high priest, and a little girl came up to him and says, you're one of Jesus' disciples, aren't you? And what did Peter do in the face of this little girl's question? He wilted. He wilted in fear because he knew that this Jesus had been taken prisoner, that Jesus had told him that he was going to be crucified. And he knew that being aligned with Jesus would lead to his imprisonment and perhaps his crucifixion. He wanted no part of that. And he just wilted, not just once, not just twice, three times he wilted before this small little audience. And now he has thousands in front of him. And he's preaching with boldness. And he actually says, whom you crucified. He's letting them know, you're the ones whom God is going to hold accountable for the rejection of his Son. Where did he get such boldness? There's only one way to explain it, and that's nothing that happened inside of Peter. It's everything that happened from the Spirit of God upon Peter. You see, Peter understood the threat of persecution and martyrdom that would flow from such preaching, but he preached with a holy boldness because he was granted that holy boldness by the Spirit. Preaching Jesus is dangerous. Preaching Jesus is not about entertaining to gain an audience. It is not about giving some great practical advice that people are going to appreciate and pat you on the back. Boy, that was really helpful. Preaching Jesus is about offending every heart that does not bow the knee to Jesus. God's word is the message. God's messenger is simple, weak instruments. Some of you are hunters. I've talked to some of you who harvested some deer this year, and when you harvest a deer, you have to dress it. And what do you use to dress a deer? Do you use a butter knife? Have you ever tried to dress a deer with a butter knife? It's not going to work. And this is why the first essential to preaching Jesus is a sharp instrument, an instrument sharpened by God's Spirit, empowered by God's Spirit, with a kind of boldness that says, I can be fearless. Though the world turns away from me, though everyone who hears may rise up against me, if God is pleased, I can be fearless because that is why I'm here. I'm simply his messenger. I'm an instrument, and it's the Holy Spirit that sharpens us to such. preaching Jesus, secondly, roots itself in the Word of God. Peter's sermon in Acts 2 is only 24 verses long, but 10 of these verses are direct quotations from the Old Testament. Now, undoubtedly, Luke doesn't print the entire manuscript of Peter's message, but nearly one half of what Luke does write for us here in Acts is just simply a quotation of Peter by memory of God's Word. The other verses are exposition of the Scriptures. The point of Peter's model is that the Bible itself accomplishes far greater spiritual impact than anything the preacher could dream up on his own. You see, the preacher, the teacher of God's Word, is not a philosopher. He's not a sociologist. He's not a psychologist. He's not a politician. Can I say that again? He's not a politician. He's not a moralist. He's certainly not an entertainer. The preacher is to be God's echo. What's an echo? You go to the Grand Canyon and you yell, "Hey!" What are you going to hear back? You're going to hear the exact word that you shouted. Why is that? Because that's what an echo does. It simply takes that sound and bounces it back. God's word is the origin of the message for the messenger. The messenger receives God's word for the revelation of Scripture, and then the messenger is simply to bounce that back to others. God uses the personality to shape that message, but the message originates in God alone. The sermon is not the opportunity for a person to share their best thoughts about life. The sermon is not the opportunity to share their opinions about society. The sermon is the opportunity for God to pour His truth through the personality of the preacher to reach hearts. To reach hearts. When we gather as a church, what we're here to do is not to hear the interesting stories, or although stories can be windows to the truth, don't be wrong, but that's not why we're here. We're not here to hear any person's opinions. We're here to hear what God has said to us, what the word God's left us that is necessary, that's vital to our lives today.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. As a radio listener, we pray for you. We pray that God would work in your heart through these messages to draw you nearer to Jesus Christ. We also pray that God would work in your hearts to create a deeper commitment to your own local church. You know, Knowing Christ Ministries is not the local church, and it should not and must not replace the local church. And so I want to encourage you, as we've been thinking today about the central aspect of the preaching of the word in the local church, to reach out to your pastor and really encourage him. You know, pastors often are discouraged, and we often recognize how feeble we are in the preaching of the word in particular. It's hard work, and oftentimes we don't feel like we're doing it powerfully as we should. A word to your pastor that you appreciate the hard study that he does in preparation, that you appreciate his faith as he proclaims the gospel through the word of God. As you share with him specifically some of the impacts of his preaching and teaching have upon your life, he'll be encouraged, and that'll strengthen the church of itself. So won't you do that? Take time to reach out to your pastor. Let him know you love him and are thankful for him.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org, and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.